Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This has been a rich and rare experience for me. I've enjoyed getting to re-establish friendship with people I've known in years past and for whom I have the greatest appreciation and respect. I've enjoyed meeting some new people. I've been fed almost to death. It's been a rich experience in that regard, I'll tell you. And we want to express our sincere gratitude for the way that you have treated us during this period of time that we've labored together. My Norm and I have enjoyed you. You've been so very kind. And I'll tell you what's neat. We share a common hope. We endorse a common struggle. We're headed in a common direction. We can grasp hands at any time and know that the love of God exists between us. And that's just a marvelous feeling. And something else, we have a Jesus that died for us, interposed himself with his precious blood for us, gave us life, gave us hope, gave us firmness and faith. And we ought to constantly be thankful for the fact that we have one another. We consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It's just been a marvelous week, and I thank you so very, very much. I have some more to say at the end of the service, but I just want to say those few remarks as we begin. Thank you for having us. I'm going to read from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 35, if you want to follow. If not, divest yourself from any interference and listen carefully. Cast not, therefore, away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the land sand by the seashore, which is innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that we're strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, If they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him, in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he had died, had made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Man says, seeing is believing. God says, believing is seeing. Faith is the predicate on which the entirety of the Christian system rests. Faith is the predicate for our salvation. The Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart man confesses to righteousness, we make possible our salvation by a manifestation of that faith being baptized into Christ. Faith is not some ethereal thing that's better felt than told. It's common to humanity. When you get on an airplane, you have an abiding faith that the captain of that ship is going to take you from point A to point B, that he has paid all his dues and learned all the good things to take you, even in rough weather, to get where you're going. That's faith. The faith of God is the same way. This faith that God has is predicated on the extension of an affirmation, such as, I believe that Christ is the Son of God, and then by given testimony, authenticated testimony, in support of the fact. We talked last night about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I did determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now why, Paul, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God? The evidence in support of the existence of Jesus Christ as the Son of God is overwhelming. Paul said, I, brethren, came not with excellency of speech, but giving you the testimony of God Almighty. Moreover, he said, I declare unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I preached to you, which you received, wherein you stand, and by which you're saved, if you keep in memory the things I have commanded you, unless you have believed them in vain. For I delivered unto you that which I first of all received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was resurrected again the third day according to the Scriptures, then he was seen of Cephas, and then of one of the 12, finally seen of above 500 brethren at one time. Now what's the purpose of that? Many other signs truly did Jesus in the midst of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these signs are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The Word of God affirms indubitably, irrefutably, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Since that's the case, he has been given to give life to man, to forgive our sins and make it possible. So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And there abideth these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Faith is always near God because all of our aspirations, all our desires, all of our designs are predicated on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that makes possible our hope. Hope is that wonderful mental apparatus that reaches off into the future and attaches itself onto something that we desire and have a warm expectation of receiving. And it comes through faith. Without faith, there's not any substance of things hoped for. So then, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God wants you to see something from Hebrews chapter 11. He's showing us about his hall of faith. I've called it a hall of faith because it's just that way. There are halls of fame for everything. There's a hall of fame for football in Missouri. There's a hall of fame for baseball in Cooperstown, New York. I want to go there so badly. I never get to go. There's a hall of tennis. There's a hall of fame for tennis players. There's a Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City. Did you know that? There are all kinds of halls of fame. God's hall of faith is exactly what we're hearing here. He's telling us all about his hall of faith. And he takes us through it. It's a beautiful thing. Let me just get you at the door over here and take you through this hall of faith right quick. And you see these people. You walk in, the first thing you see is Cain and Abel. Cain is offering a sacrifice. Abel is snarling. See his picture? Can you see his visage over there? You can tell that something is wrong with this picture. And he tells us by faith, Cain offered a more acceptable, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than did Cain. So here's the picture. Do you see it in your mind? Picture that. You're walking through and you can see it. You come down a little bit further and you see a hole in the cloud. It's a picture. The artist's conception has a hole in the cloud, and you can see that somebody just went through the hole. It's Enoch. He was here, but he's not there anymore because he did somethings that pleased God, and because he pleased God, he went without dying. So he went through the cloud. Here's the artist's conception of it. Can you see it in your mind? Move on a little bit further, and you see Noah. Noah's standing, in my opinion, on the precipice of a sawed-off sycamore tree, maybe. And he's trying to speak to some people out here. And the artist's conception has the people snarling at him. One of them's giving it this. The people are not listening to him. They're not listening. Back in the background of the picture, you see a big black box with a few people working on it, trying to put bitumen on the sides of it. That's the scene that God wants you to see there. And he's doing that all by faith. It's caused him to build that place. It has never rained like he thinks it's going to rain, like he's saying it's going to rain, but it's going to come. And you see the picture that God paints for you there. Move on down a little bit further and you see Abraham. Abraham is leaving the city. And you can see the city where he left way off in the future. And now he's a Bedouin prince. And he has some flocks and herds. And he has his nephew. And he's going off to a far country because he had faith in God. You see that picture in your mind? It's there in God's hall of faith. Abraham was a great character in the readings of the hall of faith. You can see him there if you're looking carefully. Move on down a little bit further. And you see Joseph. And Joseph's brothers are lined up over there. And you can tell they're a nervous wreck. Because all of a sudden, Joseph has just revealed himself to them as his brother. The one they stuffed down in the pit and sold into slavery. And they're scared to death. And he's just revealed that to them. They don't understand that he's going to say in just a few minutes it was the providence of God that did it. That's God's hall of faith. You see the picture of it? Get that picture fixed in your mind. Move on down a little bit further, and you see Moses. Moses is on the precipice of a big rock. You can see the wind blowing his hoary head. You can see his beard turned to one side because of the breeze. You can see the light of determination in his eyes. Look at him. See him there in that picture. He's looking out, and you can almost see him as he raises his shepherd's crook and looks at the sea and says, "Stand back. And see the power of God," and the sea congeals on each side in the distance. You can see that. My wife said that Moses is her favorite Old Testament character because he looks so much like Charlton Heston. That's for the old folks in the audience. But Moses is one of the great characters in God's hall of faith. Move on down a little bit further, and down at the end there's this picture. It's a picture of people fighting. It's a picture of people trying. It's a picture of people having trouble and difficulty. There's no face on any one of them. It's the unknown soldier in God's hall of faith. It's the unknown soldier. God never leaves out the simple people. He never leaves out the little people. And the hall of faith is no exception. I remember sitting on my deck one day in the morning breeze and watching the birds come. A big blue jay flew in to the bird feeder, got a seed and took it off to the fence and pecked it open and made the sunflower feast for that morning. He flew away. All of a sudden I saw the cardinal. Oh, he's a beautiful red bird with the most gorgeous golden beak you ever saw. Landed and got him something, and I knew she was somewhere close by because they're always together. All of a sudden, they change places. She's not quite as pretty as he is, but she comes in with her femininity and gets her seed, and off they go. Beautiful cardinal. Then all of a sudden I saw something that just opened my eyes. God doesn't say anything about Cardinals. Doesn't say anything about Blue Jays. But he said there's not a single little nasty looking bird that comes and eats that he doesn't remember. He remembers the little neglected birds. God always remembers the little people. When Jesus was resurrected, he didn't do it like I would have done it. If it had been me after he had been resurrected, I would have gone to the top of the temple. And I'd have gotten up there, and I'd have opened a public address system, the like of which the earth had never heard. And I'd have said, okay, Caiaphas, get out here. It's me. Okay, Annas, get out here and see me. You hypocrites, come over. I'm here. I'm open. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. That's the way I'd have done that. The way Jesus did it? No, sir. He appeared to two women and then spent a whole afternoon or more walking on a road 12 miles from Jerusalem with two little old men from Emmaus. God never leaves out the little people. And I'm so glad, aren't you? This unknown soldier here, that's a striking account. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. Every kind of activity that could be brought against them in a dastardly way was projected against them. God remembers those people. I'm glad because I'm a little people. I'm glad because I'm a nobody. The fact of the matter is it gives me great courage and great faith because I know he remembers me. So here's God's hall of faith. I'm glad we walked through it tonight, aren't you? There are others that we could talk about, but those are some of the prominent visages that are painted in God's hall of faith. And it's all a matter of faith. Every one of those people did what they did by faith. And he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoso cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the fundament, people. That's the fundamental basis, the fundamental platform for the building of our righteousness with God. I don't believe in faith only. But I'll tell you one thing. We don't have anything. We don't have any faith. That's for sure. Faith is the predicate on which the entire system is built. We never need to lose sight of that. So, it comes to the conclusion. Therefore, or wherefore, the King James says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Wait a minute. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God on high. That passage is impregnated with significance. And it's applicable to the church at Kleinwood, the church at Southside, the church wherever you go, if you're a part of. It says to you, you better keep on keeping on. It says to you, you must give your strength all the way to the end. It says to you that you cannot forbear. You have to keep on keeping on. And if you fall in the dust, you get up. In West Texas, we'd say you get up and dust off your britches and get back in the wind. That's the way you do that. We have to do that. So he says, seeing we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know exactly how that is. Some commentators think that there's some way that some of these older mortals of faith were able to see us today and view our activities. I don't know if that's the case. It may be that it's just talking about these witnesses in the sense that they testify to us just because of all the things that they did. It may be that. But the fact of the matter is, it's a term that says we're in a stadium and there are witnesses all around us and we're compassed about with them. So let me suggest to you that we need to draw strength We need to draw strength from those witnesses that are watching. Draw strength from those who witness our struggle. Everybody has a struggle. You're not going to go to heaven without any trouble. If you go on the road that is right, it's a straight and narrow road. And that word is not straight, like straight like this. It's straight, straight, like the Straits of Magellan. It's restricted. It's hard. You have to constantly be maneuvering your spiritual vessel down that road. And that is not an easy process. He says, we've got to endorse, they're endorsing our struggle. We've got to draw strength from that. They're applauding us. Don't you see that? Abraham would applaud us if we're trying to do right. Noah would applaud us if we're trying to do right. So would Moses. They stand at the gate and they say, way to go. Keep on keeping on. Don't give in. Let us draw strength then from those who witness our struggle. There have been people that have gone on before you here. People that were faithful Christians and endured. And I'm saying to you that they had a hard fight. It is not easy. Paul said he went through all kinds of misery. Read how he talked about in both of the Corinthian letters about the difficulties that he sustained as he tried to get here to heaven. I count not myself to have apprehended, he said. All the things that are here I count but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, having my own righteousness, which is of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is by faith. Talk to Peter. He had a hard time. He endorses your struggle. Talk to Paul. Talk to Timothy. Talk to all these people. They endorse your struggle. They had their struggle. They say, okay, keep your faith. Look up. Back at home in West Texas, we'd say you need to keep on when the wind's in your face. You keep on going. So let us draw strength from those who witness our struggle. Secondly, let us rid ourselves of all encumbrances and run with endeavor. Notice how he says this, if you will, please. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I'm not at all sure what the weight is that he's talking about there. It may be that he's saying it's time to quit practicing and get on with the job. Or it may be he's saying that we have little encumbrances that are peculiar to our own personality and that we have to lay those aside and get on with the job. In either case, we have to have enough faith to get on with the process. When I was in radio and television, I used to go out to Texas Tech University quite a bit. There was a sports information director there that was a friend of mine named Ralph Carpenter. And there was also a fellow that came in there quite a lot named Elmer Tarbox. And Elmer Tarbox had made a little invention. He had taken some tarpaulin material, cotton sack type material, and fashioned it into little pockets. And he put straps, little leather straps on it that could be buckled. And he filled it up with buckshot. And what he sold it to the Texas Tech Red Raiders was for them to put on their feet and their hands. They'd buckle these things on their feet and hands, and then they'd go through the routines that they went through to practice. And when they took them off, they felt light as a feather. It may be that's what he's talking about. They may have done that in the races they did. But the fact of the matter is, he's saying, whatever it is, if it's practice or if it's some kind of difficulties you have, lay aside every weight which and the sin which does so easily beset us. I don't know what your difficulties are. It may be that you don't follow through like you are. It may be that you have too much pride. It may be that you have not enough sense of focus on Jesus Christ. All of us have our sack of rocks that we drag around. All of us have our difficulties that we have to deal with. But we can deal with them. That's what I want us to see tonight. We can make progress whether it's difficult or not. Nobody said the road was easy. But everybody did say that they ever fought the road before you, and these witnesses are amongst them. Every one of them says it's worth it. That's the point we need to get. It's worth it no matter what we have to expend, no matter what we have to leave off. If we don't get as rich as we thought we ought to be, if we don't get as famous as we thought we ought to be, it's of no consequence when it's all over and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Those are the things we're listening for. So we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Sin is a monster. It's a horrible crime. It's man's main malady. The devil is so clever. He's always lurking on the periphery of everything that we do. He's always right outside. The Apostle Peter described him beautifully when he said, watch out, be sober, for your adversary, that's your enemy, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I made a comment like that when I was up in Indiana in a meeting one time. I said, you got to watch that lion. He's like a roaring lion. He's going to come at you and he's going to get you. She said, if he's lurking on the periphery and he's watching you, why is he called a roaring lion? Well, I hadn't thought about that. So I went home, got out my dictionary, got an encyclopedia, and I found the L's. And it wasn't long before I found the L-I. And then I got L-I-O. And then I got lions. And I read about these lions. A lion will stalk the prey sometimes for hours, sometimes even for a day or so, until the prey is in a place where he can attack. He'll get it up against a stone fence or against a group of rocks or against a hillside or in some briar patches. And he gets in there, and right before he pounces on his prey, he lets out a gargantuan roar, and it freezes the prey right in his tracks. That ain't kind of what the devil does. That is exactly what he does. He follows us around all the time. Dangling before us are baubles and bangles and beads of sin. He wants to illuminate us to the lights of the far country, just like he did the prodigal son. He wants to take you away somewhere that you don't need to go. And he does that with great ferocity, and he does it with timeliness. But we have to be on guard all the time. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It gets us off course. We need to stay on course, and the only way we can stay on course is get rid of the encumbrances. So whether it's talking about the idea of the Olympics and you're running without any impediments, or it's talking about laboring in the presence of great difficulty, either one, he's saying, lay aside whatever gets in your way. Now, let me ask you a question. What does that mean to you? Well, it means what you have to do is get off by yourself and reflect on where you are. It means that you have to see what your encumbrances are. That's hard. It's hard to admit you have this particular difficulty. It's hard to admit that you have this particular restraint. It's hard to admit that you've got too much pride, if you've got too much inclination toward sexual things, or you've got too much inclination toward being pompous, or all kinds of things like that. But we have to examine ourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? We have to examine. That's hard. It's hard to be honest with your examination. But that does not leave it off just because it's difficult. We have to examine ourselves and find out what our difficulties are and then do away with them as best as we can so that we have no inhibitions that are in the way of the path to glory land. Secondly, let us rid ourselves from all encumbrances and run with endeavor. Endeavor. You ever had a project you just wanted to get done? You were just willing to do most anything to get it done. I went back to school when I was older, and it was hard. It was hard. But I wanted so badly to get it done. I would come in from the office at 4 o'clock every day, and then I'd start to go to school from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock or so that night. We have to persevere. He says, leaving all these things out of the way, let the witnesses be seeing you as you labor, but get rid of the encumbrances and run with endeavor. You have to have a desire to win, a desire to get done. Paul said, my desire, I press toward the mark. You ever watch the Olympic Games? I watched the Olympics in China when they were there recently. And it was interesting what Bob Costa said about the runners. The runners would be kind of divided up in sections of maybe 15 or 20. And then there'd be a gap in another 10 or 12 and like that on down the line. And he said every time when they came around and saw for the first time they came around the final curve, they'd see the birdcage. Remember that big old stadium they had? They'd see the birdcage. Every time, without fail, they sped up. We have to get rid of the encumbrances and look where we're going. Let us look steadfastly toward the goal. Lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul has just spent all these chapters, all this chapter, and part of chapter 10 and part of near all of chapter 12, trying to get us to see how important faith is. And he's talked about all these people who did what they did by faith. He said Jesus is the author of that faith, and Jesus is the finisher of that faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, that so many times we leave out of our religion Jesus Christ. We have so put the emphasis on baptism sometimes that we forget why we're baptized. Jesus Christ is why we're baptized. Know ye not that so many of you were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, even so, we should rise to walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Even baptism is about Jesus. Everything that we are is about Jesus. He's the author of our faith. He's the author. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing toward Jesus. Everything in the covenant with Abraham is pointing toward Jesus. Everything in the ideas that Jesus expressed are pointing to his death and his burial and his resurrection. It's by him that we have all that we have. And faith in him is the beginning place of it all. If you have the faith you ought to have in Jesus Christ, you'll have no problem being baptized when you understand that that's what he said you need to do and why he died for it. So we need to look to Jesus. He's the author of our faith, and he is the finisher of our faith. He gives us the right to be obedient to his command to be baptized on an obedient, penitent faith, and then he assures us of the end that it accomplishes. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man of sin has been crucified with him, that sin should no longer have any priority over us. That's why we are baptized. And then we continue on as hard as we can, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's a matter of focusing on Jesus Christ. Focus is so important. Focus. A man was going across a country area, came across a barn. And this barn had some targets on it, big targets. And every one of them had an arrow right in the middle of it. Every one of them had an arrow in it. He saw the farmer standing out there and said, Targets are those? He said, my son did those. Boy, he said, he must be some kind of a shot. He said, well, he's pretty good. But said he learned one thing how to do that. He goes out there and shoots the arrow into the side of the barn and then comes and draws the target around it. Now that's kind of how some Christians are trying to do it. You can't do that. You have to shoot at the mark all the time. You have to press on toward the goal all the time. So he says, putting those things aside, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Look steadfastly toward the goal, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher, who for the joy that was set before him endured the death of the cross. Wait a minute. It was a joy for Jesus to die? Yes, sir. It was. Oh, now his humanity said, God, if it be possible, let this cup pass by me. But he also said, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus was counting it all joy. You know why he counted it all joy? Because it made salvation possible for you. And you back there. And you over there. And you over there. And when he was looking at the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane even, he was looking for the salvation of you back there, and you over there, and you people there. That's the joy that made him do what he wanted to do. Count it all joy when you fall into divers trials, said James. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We need the wisdom that we need to persevere. We keep on keeping on because we're looking at the right place. We're looking at the right end. We're looking steadfastly toward the goal all the time. Jesus had joy as he suffered his death upon the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God on high. For considering him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So what is the lesson? It's very simple. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the assurance of things not seen. We need to ennoble our faith all the time. We need to increase its intensity all the time. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith grows to the same extent that you allow it residency in your mind. And your ability to get rid of the encumbrances that prohibit you going to heaven, prohibit you making the path choices that you ought to make, is a matter of faith. If you have the kind of faith you need to have, you'll do it nothing wavering, nothing wavering. You'll not be wavering. You'll say, I am pointedly fixed on a concentrated place. I'm going where I'm going. I will make my way there no matter what happens. Oh, I may fall, I may stumble, but I'll get up and reestablish my route of pursuit. I'll get going again. So the lesson is very simple. We need to make our way to heaven. Therefore, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth to the things which are before, let us lay aside every weight and the encumbrances which so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to go to heaven. Do you? There are a lot of things I want to know. I want to know what Paul looked like. I want to know what kind of faith Moses had. I want to talk to him about it. I want to see those two little old men on the road to Emmaus. I have a picture of them. One of them's kind of dumpy and fat, and one of them's skinny with a big Adam's apple. They're friends of mine, actually. And I want to go there where they are. I want to see D. Hodges again. W.R. Jones. And Roy Cogdell. And James W. Adams. And A. Hugh Clark. People who were my mentors. People who blazed the course before me. In order to do that, I have to lay aside everything and persevere so I can get where they are. Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? I hope you do. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. So let us persevere all the way to the end. If you owe a duty to God tonight, don't let anything get in your way. Look to the witnesses that have gone before you. Look to Jesus who died to make it possible. Don't miss the route to heaven. Please come and make your life right with Him. Whatever you do to God, let us help you while we stand and while we sing.